All right, guys, welcome back to this episode of The After Show. And as promised, we are filming our after shows now and posting them on YouTube. As you'd expect, we're just kind of sitting in the studio, having a little chat side by side.
We decided to do it to stay more accountable to getting bigger.
That's right.
Because you guys can see us every week.
But if you go to the edge of the lens, it kind of is a little bit warped, so you look bigger. Got the MMP shirt on, which looks quite good on the camera.
Yeah, and so you
got
True shirt.
But it's kind of like in reverse, but it'll be straight on the video, but it's just how it is right now. But anyway, enough of that. So guys, we actually mentioned last Friday, Zanna from Active Escapes invited us to the Active Escapes in Noosa. And look, we moved some things around and we're taking him up on his offer. So we will be at the Active Escapes trip next week.
Tuesday to Friday.
That's right. So we're going to be out there with our content creator, you know, doing some cool stuff. And then, you know, doing a Active Escape or doing a fitness retreat for the first time, even though we've had that sponsor on for the previous sponsor on for a while, but this time it's going legit. And so we're pretty excited for the trip. And, you know, I think it's going to be more authentic. You guys are going to get a real inside look as to what the experience was like. And if any of you are listening that are going to be there, we look forward to meeting you and you joining us on the trip. And then there'll be many more as well. So pump for that. Cool. So listener questions. We basically decided that listener questions, very exciting part of the show now, may become the entire after show. But look, the real point is we love answering your guys' questions with all the stuff that, you know, we've accumulated as knowledge over time. We feel like there's a lot more we can share and we want to, you know, target you guys specifically. This week will be the last episode that we give away either a piece of apparel or a training journal for one of the questions. So we have these questions in. And then also, guys, we're not going to force any product reviews. So that way, when a good product comes up, like My DNA last week, we can actually legitimately review it and not feel like it's forced or not be like scraping the bottom of the barrel like, oh, I got this new sticky tape.
Pencil.
It's pretty good.
Fucking legit pencil.
But it's not that good because like doesn't sharpen that well, but still a great pencil. So yeah, listener questions we're much more excited for. So that's a good way to kick off the show. But before we jump into the listener questions, today's episode brought to you by TrueCoach. TrueCoach, the number one platform for prescribing training and receiving training. Is there anything that you feel like is on the app that you've been using recently that maybe people like haven't really considered too much that you think is quite good?
Well, if you ever use the TrueCoach in the past or use some other thing similar like it, I would say probably what was always the most annoying thing was finding your old scores. Particularly when like your coach might have like written it in differently in the past. So like, I don't know, it was like squat. And then like 6 months earlier, he was like back squat.
Right.
And then you look at your history, you're like, I can't find that back squat.
Right.
And that seems like a small thing, but it's a massive thing when you're like...
Percentages.
Trying to be PRs, like, oh, what did I do this last cycle? So they've improved that quite a lot now. So now it's much more just like a, you know, like keyword function. So you can like just search like anything to do with squat, anything to do with back squat, and like it'll find all the results. So, and you can just go through calendar as well. So like finding random old workouts from 19 months ago is actually a much easier process, which can make a massive difference. Because if you run the similar cycles, which like most people do, different times of the year, then just being able to see like, this is what I got on my air bike sprints for 30 seconds, 6 months earlier is a massive thing.
So truecoach.co/MMP, that'll get you a free trial and the discount off your next month.
Yes.
All right, go there. Cool. So guys, this week we've had a few questions come in, bit of a variety from last week's stuff, which is cool. So the first question that comes in today is from Quarter Jamie. They're never easy names to pronounce, are they? He asks, do you subscribe to ice baths? Jeff Bridges, I think he means Josh Bridges, unless it's like his brother or his dad or something.
I think he means Josh Bridges.
Gets in the tub every single morning for a few minutes and swears by it. Is there any science to support it? Interesting question. Now, let me answer it for you. We have a member at our gym.
Jeff.
Good old Jeff. That's actually a female. Kat, she is doing her PhD on cold therapy ice baths for recovery.
Nice.
For those of you who don't know what a PhD is, it's a shitload of work on one topic. And she has basically gotten to the end of her studies and realized that, no, there is no difference in performance whatsoever. So everything, like the science, obviously there's always anecdotal stuff, but if we're talking from a purely scientific, in the lab, studying it at a physiological, biological level, there is no significant impact, it seems, from her, from what she said, that, you know, is basically worth getting in the ice bath.
Is that for muscle gain or just anything in particular?
No, I think it's just for increase in performance and recovery. Yeah. The thing about ice baths is, from what we've understood and what we've heard our guests speak about over the past 4 years, is it's so intense that it actually creates more stress on the body than not. Like, it's usually used post-workout to increase recovery or speed up recovery or kickstart the recovery process. But because it's such a stressful process, it's creating more stress in the body. The changes that you're hoping will occur won't occur, because cold, you know, slows down blood flow. And ultimately what you're trying to do during the recovery process is increase blood flow. That way you can pull out the byproducts of exercise out of your system faster and replace them with, you know, fresh oxygen, fresh nutrients, glucose, vitamins, minerals, all that stuff that restores the process. So if you're slowing down your circulation, you're going to inhibit the recovery process. That's how we understand it from a theoretical perspective. But then obviously there's positive effects for cooling and that sort of thing. So I'd say unless you're like in extreme, extreme heat like CrossFit Games, then it's probably not having the recovery effect that you want.
Yeah, I mean, you can just go not as cold. Like, I remember when I was playing rugby in America and we were like training multiple times a day, and then everyone was like, oh, do the ice baths in between. But the whole process, it like wasn't that positive because first of all, it takes a while. Like, you get the ice bags and shit, you like fill the ice bag, like a whole process, and you get in and your heart rate is going like so fast before you get in. You're like, this is going to fucking freeze.
Yeah.
And you get in and you're fucking freezing. And after this whole period, you come out and like, you know, your legs feel like fucked after, like they're just frozen, like you can't feel anything, and then the feeling starts coming back to them. And like this whole process has been over an hour. And like you haven't relaxed at all. And then, you know, we only had like 3 hours in between, and it kind of like took away all the rest time we had. So I definitely don't think it was working then. And I do think I used to cramp more when I would go back to training in the afternoon. And I'm not sure exactly why. Maybe just like it took so long to warm up your muscles again
because
they're like really, really cold. Then you go train and your muscles are still cold. So yeah, didn't have a positive experience with the whole thing.
Yeah. I would say a lot of the benefits that you get from it are the cooling effects when your body's obviously like overheating.
And ice, you just wouldn't need to go that cold.
No,
to
you cool can. Down. Yeah, you can go a cool bath, like just cold water, which I think will have a really good effect. It's almost like the same sort of temperature you would have if you're like lying on the beach. It's really hot, and you jump in the ocean. Yeah. You dive in. It's like really refreshing.
It's
but
like
it's
16.
Not,
it's not -2.
Yeah, exactly. And or you could put an ice pack on the back of your neck.
Yeah,
and that's a pretty common one, like right underneath the brainstem to kind of like cool just the head and everything there. There's a lot of good research to show ice pack use directly on the head to reduce like neuroinflammation, which a lot of that research has come from concussions and people that like do sparring and stuff in MMA and boxing. There's a lot of good research to show that there are some really restorative effects on like really intense cooling on the brain, like by placing an ice pack on your head post training. So that could be one as well. And if you also end up, you know, feeling after training extremely dizzy, disorientated, run down, tired, that was a strategy that Kyle was getting me to do when he was coaching me on Training Think Tank. It was like, hey, try in summer after a workout, just cooling your head specifically with ice. And we've shown that that's had some pretty good effects of reducing fatigue later in the day, that feeling of disorientation and dizziness and lack of energy immediately after training. So that could be a strategy that you guys use instead of the ice bath, which is, like Raph said, expensive, big setup,
so
slow.
So fucking inconvenient.
Super inconvenient, that you might get all the benefits or a lot of the benefits of the ice bath just with those strategies there. So I'm not really sure on the science of ice baths specifically, but right now it's not looking good for ice baths. Hey, this is just part of evolving in the lab, and as sports science evolves, we just found out it's only been a legit scientific field for like 50 to 60 years. So there's still heaps of stuff to be discovered about it. But, you know, that old school stuff, it doesn't hold up anymore. Yeah. At least that's the way we see it. Thanks for the question.
Thank God, because they're fucking uncomfortable.
Super uncomfortable. I'll never do an ice bath again. Unless it's crazy hot.
crazy.
But, you know, it could be...
That's a bath. That's just a bath.
No, I mean, unless the temperature...
Right.
No, but
a hot ice bath.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't think you're gonna find that.
I'm not doing an ice bath unless it's at least like 36 degrees. That's not an ice bath. Okay, so next question. Thanks for that, Quarter Jamie. Next question is from Ryan Fernance. Ryan F. Ernancy. He asks, F Fistop or F45? So if you guys didn't see last Wednesday, we were flown out by Peter Hull, who is the founder of Fistop, which is like looking to be the next franchise. He was on In the Black, let's say 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
And he, when we interviewed him in Sydney, he was basically like, look, I heard about you guys mentioning that, you know, you see there's going to be like a white space between CrossFit and F45. And you think that some big player will emerge in the market very soon to kind of fill that space? He goes, I'm that space. And let me show you. Because obviously he talked about it. But I was like, let me show you. So he flew us down to his operations. He took us to the gyms. We did the workouts. We did all that. We captured that entire day in Brisbane. Super hot, stinking, humid Brisbane. We captured that whole day on our YouTube channel. So if you guys head there, the video is called The Next Big Franchise. And yeah, it's a good video. Yeah, kind of captured the whole day. But anyway, the question is Fistop versus F45. What do you prefer? What's the strength and weaknesses, in our opinion, of the two styles? Yeah.
Well, I've done one F45 class and we did two Fistop classes that day.
Mm.
Massive day. They are very different. If I was personally going to do something long term and I had to do one of those two, I would definitely do Fistop. Just because I can load up the weights way more. I think in the morning, we had like a pretty fast workout, but we still could go pretty heavy on the squats and we could still go pretty heavy on the dumbbell presses. So like, I guess the potential for muscle gain is much higher if you want to do that. I mean, you could have slowed down those workouts if you wanted to and pushed the weights even harder. And we weren't even there on the strength day. So, or you could just go faster and keep it lighter. So there's like much more variation I think they allow in the stimulus you can give yourself. Whereas the F45, like it's just lighter and it's always going to be lighter.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to echo the same stuff there. F45 is designed specifically to just get you to sweat and burn calories, but it's not designed to get you stronger or to build any sort of skill development. For that reason, it appeals to a very specific part of the market, which is, you know, quite frankly, the majority of the market. They think that good training is just burning calories and sweating. They're not really interested in getting a stronger back squat. They're not necessarily interested in learning a muscle up yet. And so their first priority is losing weight, yep. Right? Feeling like they're doing something for their health, which by all means, they are helping themselves. They are sweating. They are burning calories. They are putting themselves in a calorie deficit on their nutrition programs, even though we may not agree with them. But look, they're losing weight. They are feeling better about themselves, feeling more healthy. The next progression after that is what's next, right? F45 has reached a point in Australia where it started. It's kind of getting to that 7-year mark, which if you look at all the data on gym franchises is sort of the top of the peak. After that, you get the way down. So a lot of F45s are selling up. The popularity is slowing down dramatically because people are thinking to themselves, what next? Okay, I've done this circuit 1,000 times, 1,000 different variations. It feels like the same thing again and again. What's next? Now, they could take the leap to something more like CrossFit and do gymnastics and Olympic weightlifting and powerlifting, but it might feel like too much of a jump. Mm. So instead, they're like, oh, I heard this Fistop thing, which is a similar format. To be frank, if you put on a blindfold and you just listen to it, it sounds like sounds the same as F45. It's quick demonstration, loud music, 3-2-1 go. You don't really get a lot of coaching. You just kind of get supervision, you get encouragement, and you get loud music. It's different because Raph and I obviously know what we're doing, so we're fine. But if, again, like you said, you can load up the back squat.
Yep.
No one can load up the back squat in Fistop because they don't know how to back squat. They're not taught how to back squat. So the option is there for people that know
what
they're doing.
If you already knew what you were doing, you could definitely do it. Better, but yeah. If you walked in not knowing how to back squat, you wouldn't have... You wouldn't have got the weights heavy in that workout.
No. So, yeah, it's these are just facts. We're not, and they're not really our opinions because it's just how it is. Mm. Like, it's an experience that everyone will say the same thing about. It's like, if you go there looking to learn how to squat better and mobilize your hips and that sort of thing, you're not really going to get that at Fistop. You're going to get a workout that you can potentially load up heavier and potentially do harder movements in. But that would only be if you were to learn them in like a one-on-one scenario or at a separate gym where they teach skill development for an hour. They teach movement for an hour. You just don't get that there. But that's not what they're going after. They're going after another circuit franchise, which is slightly different movements that have a little bit more progression. Now, I think it is a nice stepping stone to F45. A lot of people are transitioning out of F45 into Fitstop in the Brisbane area. It's looking to become the natural progression, which is fine. But look, it's just safe to say that if you are training people and building relationships with clients on a one-on-one basis, putting them in a group setting once they've learned what they need to learn, they are learning gymnastics, they are learning powerlifting, they are learning bodybuilding, they're learning functional, you know, functional movement, they're getting taught it properly, they're being taught how to stretch, how to cool down. If you're educating your clients, if you're teaching them on nutrition, that's the shit that works better than anything else, and it's never going to go away. No franchise can ever replace that, because you can't really franchise that, right? It's, you can't franchise that level of education and application, because it's so personal, it's so time intensive. Franchises aren't personal and time intensive, really. Like, they're kind of built for speed and scale, right? And consistency. So, look, coming back to the original question, what do we prefer? I prefer Fitstop over F45. That goes without saying. But it's only because we know what we're doing.
Yep.
And so we can load it up heavier. If the scale up is bar muscle-ups, we can do bar muscle-ups, that sort of thing.
But if someone didn't know what they were doing, it's not like F45 is safer than Fitstop.
No.
I wouldn't necessarily say either, because they're not really probably going to go heavier than they need to.
No.
It's just, it's going to turn out probably pretty similar.
Yeah. I would say that Fitstop has a bit more potential long-term for sustainability because they are doing PT, whereas F45 discourages PT.
It's not allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that Fitstop are encouraging PT, I think, is not only good from a trainer's perspective, it's a way for them to generate more income.
And just give more coaching.
Exactly. Yeah. If a client comes up to them and goes, hey, my weight loss has stagnated, I've been here for 6 months, or hey, I'm getting a lot of lower back pain when I squat, now it's the opportunity for the trainer to kind of help them out. So that is a key piece in the longevity of that franchise. So that's basically, that's why we prefer it. So hopefully that answers that question. We've got one more question. Before we jump into this final question, we'll quickly talk about Activated Nutrients, the number one greens powder. I'm heading to Melbourne this weekend. I would very much love to stop by and have a look at the Activated Nutrients headquarters, but we will plan to do that later in the year for sure, because you guys want to get a look at the behind the scenes of what it looks like to break down over 100 whole food and vitamins and minerals and packing them all into one package. Because I'm just thinking it's a hell of a process, right? To put that much shit into just a tiny packet would be pretty cool to kind of see how that all plays out. I mean, the peak process is probably pretty cool, right?
Yeah, factories are always crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So we'd love to go visit them. If you guys are not subscribed to their products yet, which we highly recommend doing, it's the best move we've made for our health in 2019, activatednutrients.com. You just go there, you click the product that is best suited to your needs. They have more options now, whether you're older, whether you're younger, or you just kind of sit in that middle ground, then, you know, there's a product for you. All you got to do is click on the product, click subscribe, you save 20%, and then you never run out. And it's like, it's an investment in your health. The same way you add it onto a gym membership. Maybe we should have Activate Nutrient subscriptions on our gym memberships.
Probably should.
That'd be sick.
You can use the code OFFERMMP and you can get 20% off your first order.
Absolutely. ActivatedNutrients.com. And guys, if you're in America, Amazon as well sells Activated Nutrients using the same code. All right. Last question before we get into our Netflix documentary. Jake Dalasio, 81, says, this is my after show question. So he watched my personal vlog, which was my first one, where I talked about how I started as a trainer in the industry. Anyway, so I think that's just setting up the context. And then Jake says he has his CrossFit level one, but he doesn't necessarily agree with prescribing CrossFit for everyone because he doesn't think it's the end all and be all of training. Nice work, Jake. Just wondering if you guys could give your number one tip on how to get your first paying client that's not a friend or family for a 21-year-old about to graduate college.
Well, I think where did we start? I think I was already working in the gym when I was 21, just started. But I feel like I'd already been doing this stuff for quite a long time. And the best thing that I think people give this advice all the time, but it's very sound, is just literally doing it for free at the start. And you get mad results with that same person, or they just tell their friend and they're going to start paying. Like, if you just really love it, and it's so easy because you've got no clients, so you never forget their emails because you have one person. You just over-deliver like crazy on the one person. You do it for free. You do it for like three people for free. And literally, if you just turn around, most of them will probably start paying you if you just ask for it because you've been killing it. Or you just say, hey, can you just find a friend that also needs this? And you start charging them. But I think I couldn't imagine a better way to go about it than that. Just because you've like given the results in advance. If you get the results for them, everyone, unless they're just the tightest motherfucker on the planet, is going to... If you've got someone to lose like 5 kilos of fat or gain 5 kilos of muscle and they won't pay you to keep doing it after that, then something's fucked.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good piece of advice. All I'd add on to that is if you... Like at this stage, you haven't proven yourself with any clients anywhere. So what I would show people is this transformation you've made yourself and tell your own story. Instagram's a great platform for that. You can make a YouTube video that you could send people or whatever. But if you walked up to someone in a commercial gym, you obviously, I would assume you're in good shape. You do some pretty cool stuff. There are people obviously kind of know who you are if you've been like snatching or doing burpees or wads or whatever, or you just look good in general. You go up to them and be like, hey, you know, I'm a trainer now. You can follow me on Instagram. You can have a look at my own journey there. Like, yeah, just check it out. Be friendly, smile, that sort of thing. And if you have some stuff out there about your own personal journey and transformation, people will resonate with that. You'll find the clientele that resonate with that. If you're a skinny guy that put on muscle like me, you'll attract more of those clients. If you were a really big guy and you lost a lot of weight, you'll attract one of those clients. If you improved your mental health through training, you'll attract those sort of clients. And that's kind of a good way to start with your own transformation and your own story to give some context for people, to give them some security and understanding about who the person is that they're about to invest time with and then later invest money with.
Yeah.
It's probably a good strategy. Hopefully that helped.
Done. Good luck.
All right. So, oh yeah. And let us know if you get that, if you get that first client with our strategies, let us know. Cause then we'll create an ebook and we'll monetize it and then we'll just sell it everywhere. No, I'm just kidding.
Sell it back to you.
All right. So Netflix documentary this week, we missed out on one last week, but we have one coming up. So this week, we've got, well, it's called Strongland. But we're going to play you a little clip from The Stone Land.
Is that one of the episodes?
Yeah, that's right. By Rogue Fitness.
You're looking at luscious green grass right now.
Mm-hmm. So luscious. Slow motion horse.
To live in Scotland is tough. The country is just a big lump of stone with some lumps of coal covered in grass. So I think perhaps all these rituals started to provide a path for a boy becoming a man.
This is the first Highland Games I've ever been to, the proper one. And obviously being in Scotland, I was blown away by everything that was going on with the heavy stone throw, the sprint races, the weight over the high bar, the hammer throw.
All right, we'll leave it there. So you get the idea. It is basically it looks like a historical documentary style thing on all like the original like old school strongman kind of events and where they all originated from. And it's just like taking a dive into these different areas, mainly in Europe, where, you know, strength training sort of started, but like not strength training with a barbell, like just
big, strong.
There's
strong
a big ass stone. Yeah. Move that stone. You know what I mean? There's a big ass log. Move that log. Just some old school stuff. So, there's three episodes at the moment and, I managed to get through the first one. Raph, you got through the first one as well?
I watched the second one.
You watched the second one?
Yeah, that one we just played the trailer for. I watched Scotland. So it was basically like where all the strong men, and like they still have like a very big like strong man, I guess, culture there.
Yeah.
So they have the Highlands game there. So it's like basically the start of that. And it's like where all the stone lifting came from, all the records around it and everything like that.
Mm. Yeah, it's super cool. Like this stuff is just so fascinating because what you start to realize is people have been getting like legit strong the most natural way possible. Mm. since they were so young. This guy in the video is like, oh, yeah, they got this anvil event where, like, you got to pick up the anvil, which is like a blacksmith thing. People didn't know. It's kind of like, I guess, like a chopping board for blacksmiths, I think. And you touch it to the ground, and then there's like this metal, like big sheet of metal above your head, and you touch it to the top, and it's just basically like max reps ground to overhead with an anvil. Seriously.
Kind of like plate ground to overhead?
Yeah, yeah.
But heavy?
Yeah.
And how heavy would you say it is?
Well, he's doing it without like catching it on his chest and pressing it. He's just kind of like going straight up. But
so like 60 kilos maybe?
I wouldn't say 60. Like 40. It's probably like,
it's an awkward object,
45,
right?
50. Yeah. Like
still heavy.
I think it's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
But it's hard to know. I mean, these guys are crazy strong. Like, these guys are insane. Like, they could pick up an anvil and go, oh, it's not that much, not that heavy. And then you pick it up and you're like, holy shit. Because they've been, you interview him, like, yeah, you know, I've been doing stones for this long, and, like, since I was a kid. And then you're like, oh, yeah. And he's like, yeah, so that's like stones for 36 years.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit. That's a long time.
Their hands and shit are a different breed.
Exactly. Exactly. And what you realize is, strength is just a whole different... It just has a whole different meaning in other parts of the world. Like, if you tell someone you back squat 300 kilos, they'll just look straight through you like, I don't know what that means. All I know is you can't pick up that stone and carry it over there, but I can do it 10 times unbroken. And I think that's better strength, to be honest. Like, barbell strength is... It's a sport. It's not like actual strength. It's actual strength. Like, you know what I mean? It's very specific.
Yeah, specific.
It's very specific.
Yeah, it's different. It's cool. Like, in Scotland, they had ones where it was like, there's like these random stones in different places, and it was like, oh, like to become like this level of man, you have to like just lift this stone, and like this level of man, you just lift this stone.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
There was this one event. This guy had this his like stone drag, and he's 70 something kilos. What did he say? Or maybe he's 90 kilos or something. I think he's 90 kilos, 6'1", and he had to drag a 750 kilo stone, like with a chain and a handle on it. I don't know how far, but it's far. And basically, all they can do is like walk right up to it, like lean back, and it moves like 2 inches. And they got to do that for so long. And he said, you know, it's all right at the start, but by the end, because they dig their feet in so much and lean back and pull against it, they like lose their like toenails snap off and shit.
Fucking hell.
Like, they're psycho. And he just... And for them, it's like, oh, it's not even about being strong or looking good or anything. He's like, oh, it's just, you know, something I've always done, and it's just like really rewarding when I'm at the games or like their version of their CrossFit games or whatever, and people are just cheering me on. And so it's so cool. It's just like they live such simple lives, you know. There's like not, there's just not much to it for them, and it's like, it's cool. It's really cool. I really enjoyed it, and this sort of stuff doesn't get shown a lot, you know.
Yeah, and the episode we haven't watched, which probably looks actually the best, is the longest one, hour and a half. And it's for Iceland. So it's like where all the Iceland strong people came from.
That's what it is. Spain, that's where it was.
I hope they do more. What I would love to see is just like all the progression on this and then some progression into the modern day strong stuff.
Yeah.
I think it would be really cool. But yeah, it was crazy as well, is like how similar some of the strongman stuff is to the very old shit. Almost exactly the same. Like some of the stone lifting and like picking up the stone, put it on something. They almost haven't changed it at all.
It's a very pure sport.
Yeah
No, it's nice. So yeah, guys, Strongland on Netflix, go check it out. I'm gonna give it, at least that first episode, I'm gonna give it a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it 3.5. It's pretty good. Like, I don't know how much money Rogue fucking spent on this, but more than a few rigs worth for sure.
Yeah, definitely sold a few stones to get that that documentary started. So yeah, guys, go check it out, Strongland on Netflix.
Yeah,
that's it from us this week. Remember, we are traveling to Active Escapes in Noosa next week, so hang out for the good content there. We'll be obviously reporting back on our experiences. And if you're watching this video and you like some of the MMP apparel that you're seeing, the mymuscleproject.com/apparel. And then of course, if you are, people are still buying training journals, there are still journals left, the trainingjournalbook.com, and on both of those websites, MMP15, and you get 15% off.
Yeah, I think we've had 2 out of 3 podcasts recently. The guest is like, oh, a journal.
Yeah.
That's like the thing they had, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Fucking legit.
Go do it for your training. The training journal, book.com. All right, thanks, guys. We'll speak to you next week.